198.
Thank you.
confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Exalt ourselves, but humbly fear thee with our whole hearts hear and keep thy word, and hallow the Lord's day, that we also may be hallowed by thy word. Help us first to place our hope and confidence in thy Son, Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness and Redeemer, and then so to amend and better our lives in accordance with thy word, that we may avoid all offenses and finally obtain eternal salvation through thy grace in Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Trinity is found in the 25th chapter of Proverbs, the 6th through the 13th verse. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great, for it is better that he should say to you, "Come up here," than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom your eyes have seen. Do not hastily go to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest, it is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, the 1st through the 6th verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Here ends the epistle lesson. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. By the word of the Lord the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. Lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here ends the gospel. Dearly beloved, we learn from the Word of God that all men from the fall of Adam are conceived and born in sin, and so are under the wrath of God, and would be lost forever unless they be delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. This child then is also by nature sinful and under the wrath of God. But the Father of all mercy and grace has promised and sent his Son Jesus Christ, who has borne the sins of the whole world, and redeemed and saved little children no less than others from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. He also commanded that little children should be brought to him and graciously received them. Therefore, I beseech you out of Christian love to intercede for this child, to bring him to the Lord Jesus, and to ask for him the forgiveness of sin and the grace and salvation of Christ's kingdom, no wise doubting that our dear Lord favorably regards such work of love, and he certainly hears our prayers. And forasmuch as the Lord has commanded in baptism, saying to his disciples in the last chapter of Matthew, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And also he has given promise in the last chapter of Mark, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Forasmuch also as the holy apostles of the Lord have written that this promise is unto you and to your children. And again, baptism also now saves us. It is meet and right that in obedience to his command and trusting in his promise, that you should bring this child to be baptized in his name. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon the forehead and upon the breast, in token that you have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Eternal God, from whom comes down every good gift and every perfect gift with the light of thy truth, we pray thy merciful goodness that thou wouldst bestow thy blessing upon this child here presented for holy baptism, that he may be enlightened with the light of thy knowledge unto eternal salvation. Purify and sanctify him. Give him the right understanding that he may be made worthy of receiving the grace of thy baptism, that he may have the firm hope of final redemption through faith in thy promises, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, which says, and they brought young children to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you that whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. It also behooves you as sponsors, while confessing in this sacred act the faith of the Christian Church in the Triune God, in whose name this child is to be baptized, to bear witness publicly in the place of the child that by holy baptism, as a means of grace, he obtains and possesses the saving faith in the one true God, and renounces the devil and his wicked works, and moreover that after this child is baptized, you should at all times remember him in your prayers. Put him in mind of his baptism, and as much as in you lies, lend your counsel and aid, especially if he should lose his parents, that he may be brought up in the true knowledge and fear of God. Therefore, according to the teachings of the Lutheran Church, and faithfully keep the baptismal vow unto that end, I ask you to answer in the stead of the child, showing what baptism accomplishes in him, the questions that I shall answer, that I shall ask. In order, therefore, to implore the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ upon this child, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth, and even forevermore. Dear Christian friends and sponsors, I now ask you to answer in the name and in the stead of this child the questions which I shall now address to him, so that you may signify what God works in him through baptism. Isaiah, Mark, Jacob, dears, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ.
His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the dead. You believe in the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Isaiah, Mark, Jacob, dears, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten you again of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. Peace be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise thee that thou dost graciously preserve and extend thy church and has granted this child a new birth in holy baptism, and made him a member of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of thy heavenly kingdom. We humbly beseech thee that as he has now become thy child, thou wouldst keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to all thy good pleasure he may be faithfully brought up to lead a godly life, to the praise and honor of thy holy name, and finally, with all thy saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We sing hymn 299. Pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you that he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 which did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our nation has often been governed by those who believe that it is their responsibility as a government to care for the poor and the lowly of this world, and to provide for those who have no means of their own, and most and very often are not willing to provide means for themselves. One can argue endlessly whether it is the responsibility of government to do these things, but it is certain that the idea is very popular these days, especially among those who identify themselves as progressives or liberals. But for the most part, such people are hypocrites. Because when it comes to the lowliest of the low, the most defenseless and helpless people of all, the smallest of children, the unborn, their compassion is gone, and they will gladly promote the slaughter of millions of innocent lives by opening their checkbooks to fund abortion. The Lord declares, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And yet how often little children are despised and counted as the least, an annoyance to be tolerated until they're old enough to have value on their own. Too many parents who are able to do otherwise are guilty of sending their children away every waking moment to be raised in daycare and preschools and after-school programs and schools and anything that they can find to keep them out of sight and out of mind as long as they possibly can. And it should not be surprising. Because if we as a nation do not value the children in the womb, why should we value them much after they are born? And yet, when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He set a little child in their midst and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says that we must all become as little children, because there is no other way to enter heaven than this. There are many times throughout the Gospels, as there was in our Gospel lesson today, that Jesus declares, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And sometimes he says, the last shall be first, and the first last. When we see Jesus keeping these words in his life, always it is the poor and the lonely, the outcasts, the tax collectors who cannot even lift up their head to pray. Such people find grace in the eyes of God, but the proud and the arrogant and those who boast in their many good works, such people are rejected by God. In the kingdom of heaven, they are humbled in the extreme because they are bound hand and foot and cast out. And so the humble, those who can do nothing, even such as little babes, who are incapable of doing anything but receiving food and shelter and clothing and warmth from their parents, these are the ones that Jesus declares shall be made the guests of honor in the kingdom of heaven. But what does Jesus mean by humility? Does he mean that if you are poor, and that if you have lived a miserable life, if you are disabled or considered an undesirable by the respectable people in the community, that you automatically get to go to the front of the line and enter heaven? No. He says, unless you come to heaven just like this little child comes to heaven, you cannot enter heaven at all. The only thing that matters in the kingdom of heaven is faith. And if you believe that faith is some great decision you must make for God, some great theological knowledge you have to acquire first, some deeply pious spiritual experience that you need to be able to look back upon, then you will seek in vain for the approval of your Father in heaven, because the only faith that he values is the faith of that little child who simply believes in Jesus. And these little ones do indeed believe on him. Jesus says in our text, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. The little humble child whom Jesus said in the midst of the disciples would enter heaven, not because he was born innocent, not because he could not sin, and not because he was not held accountable when he did sin, but because he believed in Jesus. Do all little children just automatically believe in Jesus by being born? No, they do not. David confesses in Psalm 51 that he was shaped in iniquity and conceived in sin and worthy of death. Therefore, in our very lesson here, Jesus says, if a man has 800 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is strayed? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 which did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Because even the little children are like sheep who have gone astray. And Jesus seeks them out so that they do not perish. If they did not need Jesus already, if they already believed on him, he would not have to seek them out. In the covenant made with Abraham, the Lord ordained that the little boy babies would be circumcised, so that by the small shedding of blood they would be made a part of the covenant by which all the promises made to Abraham, the promises of Christ, the promises of salvation, were made theirs. And throughout the ages until our Lord Jesus came, God showed how much he loved the little children by bringing them into the covenant of Christ through this means. Generation after generation, the Lord cherishes his little ones, and he does not want any of them to perish. Colossians 2:11 and 12 declares that in him you also were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so, in baptism, we receive the circumcision of Christ, whereby we are raised from the dead by the power of God, raised up from death to life. And so the passage continues, that you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. This is what God says he accomplishes in baptism, also in our little ones. The little ones whom our Lord loves, whom he desires that they should never perish, need the covenant of baptism in Jesus just as much as adults. They too are lost, and they too would die in their sins without Jesus. But thanks be to God, they too are born again of water and of the Spirit. And all of their sins are forgiven, and in them, as it was in the covenant of old, the Lord works faith, so that these little ones who can do nothing for themselves have this, that they believe in Jesus. And by faith, just like Abraham, they too are made righteous. And so when we bring our children to baptism, their old man of sin is buried with Christ by baptism into death, so that just as Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, they too now walk in new life. The same baptism which cleanses adults so well that Peter says their conscience is now completely clean and free from the accusations of the devil also does the same and saves our children. And therefore it's no surprise that when Jesus would send out his church to make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and teaching them the word of Jesus. Nor is it the least surprising that the Apostle Paul would baptize whole households the moment the adults believed, as we hear twice in Acts chapter 16. And many might object and say, how is it that these apostles up and baptized so many people without hardly a thought? And yet, we have to look no farther than the words of Jesus in our text when he says, assuredly I say to you that unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see, the real challenge is not that little children can believe and be saved by baptism. The real challenge is that adults, with all their sophistication and worldly wisdom, can lay aside all that they know and all their pride and all their works and believe in Jesus just as simply and completely as the little child was baptized on this day. Because make no mistake, the only faith which saves is the very faith with which such little children have. I ask you, what does Isaiah have that he has not been given? What soul searching has he done? What great works can you see that he has performed? What decisions has he made? Without constant nurture and care, moment by moment, he would not survive even a few days. He has and can do nothing. All of his care and nourishment comes from others. As a little child, all he can do is receive. And that is what Jesus means when he says to you that your faith must be the same if you would enter heaven. You too have nothing, can do nothing, can decide nothing when it comes to entering eternal life. In your years on this earth, you might think that you're self-sufficient, but in truth, you are just as helpless before God as my little Isaiah. All you can really do is receive what Jesus gives you. And therefore I bid you all, only receive the goodness of Jesus. He has taken upon himself your sins, your cross, your suffering, and your death. And in exchange, he forgives you all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. He has not dealt with you according to your sins, nor rewarded you according to your transgressions. But as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities you who fear him, believe in him, and trust in his mercy. On this day when God's new birth has come upon this dear little one, I bid you all to likewise humble yourselves and become as this little child. Not coming to the Father in heaven with anything more than this little child had when he was born into the world, but only receiving from him the good things that he has promised to you in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. In the hope of the gospel, in the knowledge of every doctrine. May thy church faithfully show this one true faith throughout the world, that in every place men may come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Bless our nation and throughout the length and breadth of the land, its people, that its people may worship and serve thee in spirit and in truth, and grant it thy counsel and aid, that it may be preserved in peace. Guard and protect our families and enable all parents to give wise reproof, spiritual admonition, and a wholesome example to their children, that in obedience to words fitly spoken, they may be edified and strengthened for usefulness and service to thee and to all their fellow men. Work thy healing power upon the sick and all the afflicted. Hear their cry and remember them in thy mercy, upholding them by the comforting power of thy Spirit. Show thyself to be a very present help and Savior, and increase their trust in thee through the love of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whose glorious name we offer these and all other worthy petitions which thou seest in our hearts. Amen. We sing hymn number 307. necessary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body
given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. Your body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and your life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Amen.